Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera.
Dearest Heavenly Father, Joseph, Kevin, and I, we thank you for allowing us to have this platform to educate your people on better mental health, but also to share with them your eternal word, which is life-changing. Thank you for this subject matter that we're going to have today that we believe will not only touch our lives, but will touch the lives of the listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome back to another episode. And I'm so glad to have Laura and Kevin here with me. It's good to see you guys. And we're going to talk about rest. And Laura brought up the subject to us, and I thought that would be a great thing for us to dive into. So Laura, go ahead and take it away.
Well, the three of us always like to talk before we get on air. And Kevin was talking about the simplicity of naps. And, you know, it just got us three thinking about like one of the best mental health messages that we can give people and one of the best spiritually based messages we can give people is what we call the power of rest. You know, we live in the world, which is always hustle, 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 more, more, more. You know, if there's daylight, you know, you got more to do, you know, and I don't think that the three of us have fallen into that, or if we have, we've matured out of it. But I think that so much of the world is still operating underneath that. And we want to bring to our listener this message that there's power spiritually and physically in rest. And you may not hear it on social media, but this is why we do this podcast, is because we want to give some life-giving messages. We want to give you permission to slow down and to actually begin to enter into the rest that your Savior came to give you. And that we, as, you know, therapist and coach, you know, we want to be able to say to you, it's okay for you to rest.
Exactly. Laura, when you were introducing the concept, the power of rest, you know, I couldn't help but to harken back to the actual beginning of our recorded history, which is the creative story, God's creation. And it's quite clear that he built rest into that creative model. But as a society and as individuals, if we're not careful, we do not build rest into our creative order, in terms of how we as individuals operate in the world, how we as family members operate in our family, as spouses. How do we build rest into our relationships? Or do we run helter-skelter all the time and blitzed out and tired, and then we're yelling at each other? I mean, rest is a creative order. It is very necessary foundationally. You know, when God was creating all the things that we see and enjoy, he would always say, and this is the end of the fourth day. But when he got to the rest, I'm going to quote this scripture. He would always enumerate the 6 days and what he created, and always would end the day and call it that particular day. But on the seventh day, he didn't do that. I'm picking it up in chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And we even have the Jewish nation, Orthodox Jews and Sabbatarians honoring that Sabbath day still, and that seventh day, and so on, that moment of rest. And of course, as Hebrews teaches us, and a bunch of other New Testament scriptures teaches us, that seventh day foreshadowed the rest that we have in Christ. He's our ultimate rest, where we don't need to celebrate a day, so to speak, spiritually, because our rest should be every day in Christ. So it's built into the actual creative order, and our whole economic, education, everything system in the Western environs are built around doing more, producing more performance. Let's measure how much you're doing, and a lack of rest. It's directly opposite of what God wanted.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on what Kevin was saying, is that even in the law, it was given to Moses. It said in Exodus 34:21, 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day you shall rest. even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. And it was a command. It wasn't this, oh, it's an option. It's something that, if you're a driver, if you drive a lot, we look at the signs that are commands, like the speed limit's this. We treat it as if it's a suggestion. And then what happens? We get pulled over. We're given a citation. We're given a warning, whatever that is. A lot of times we take things that are given to us as law and make it a suggestion. But one of the things that Jesus did, just like Kevin said, was that sometimes we can take things a little too literal. We can take things beyond what God had planned for them. And then all of a sudden it becomes something that becomes legalistic. And Jesus was constantly fighting against the legalism. He was constantly going after the thing. He wrote it. He's the one that came up with it, yet they were persecuting him for his stance on it. But one of the things that Jesus also said in Matthew 11:29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls." You know, so in him, we have rest. And the toil, everything that we do, we can burn ourselves out. We can cause so many different problems. One of the last episodes we did, Kevin talked about being brain tired. And it may not be a physical thing that you're doing. It could also be a mental thing that you're doing. And so we want to explore those.
Yeah, because we can all get caught into that, you know. I was thinking about how both things can be true. In other words, you can be created by God to work and be created by God to rest. And this is the point of what we're sharing, right? I love in the Bible where it says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. This always comes out of the heart of generosity that God has for his people, you know? And just like one of you said, you know, we can make it a legalism, right? Where instead of looking at the heart of why we were given this, back to what you said, Joseph, this command to rest. And I've experienced this a lot with my clients. So this is pretty common. So here's a generic way I'm going to share it, but it's very common. I will say to the client, if I feel that the Holy Spirit is calling me to tell them to slow down and to rest and spend more time meditating on him, on just letting worship music come over them and just spending, learning to do a lifestyle of slowing down to receive. That's the emphasis, you know, that God wants to give. We often live these hurried, busy, grouchy lives sometimes, you know, trying to give to God. And the reality is God is a great giver. And it's almost as if there's times he's like, will you sit down? Will you let me give you? Because he's a giver. For God so loved the world, he gave. So I will go into this message of that it pleases the Lord that you can rest and you can receive. Now, I'm going to promise you, gentlemen, almost 100% of the time, when I say to them, what do you hear me saying? This is 100% of the time what I've heard. You're saying, I just need to try harder. Actually, I'm telling you the complete opposite. So I can, even then I realize their brains are wired that if I love God, I've got to, now it's become a work, you know, even now worship. Oh, so I have to worship more. No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I want you to put yourself in the position to receive the gift that worship has for you. And so then I need to massage it back in so that then when I ask them again, what do you hear me saying? They can finally say, I think I hear you saying that I just need to let God do something for me. Yes, yes, it pleases the Father and it helps you heal. Amen. So what do you think about that, Kevin?
I think it's a great point. And I think our whole society has been built upon accomplishing more, you know, materialism, ever increasing mortgage payments and rents and everything. So everything is steering us to become more stir crazy, more busy, more having more things that consume our time instead of us being able to rest and enjoy spiritual rejuvenation and a family walk, just sitting down in a chair in the middle of the woods, just some simple things. I think our whole structure has been built to defeat us and defeat our rest that God wants us to have. Because if we're not resting, how can we think about the more important things? How can we feel the more important things? How can we get in touch with what God is trying to tell us? He, after all, he's not the thundering earthquake kind of guy, as it says back in the old scriptures. He talks to us in still small voices, and he pricks our conscience, and he affects our he influences our mental health to get our attention. If it's what I mean by that is, if you may have some anxiety, he may be allowing you to experience anxiety so he gets your attention to make better decisions. So, but if we're so stinking stir crazy all the time and so busy because of a lack of rest, we're not going to be able to have that that vantage point. And social media, we can, that's several podcasts, but it's taking away the rest that I had when I was growing up. We didn't have social media and phones, but now even that is taking away our precious moments that we can just, I'm even tempted when there's 2 minutes of downtime to get on my phone and look up the news or this or that or whatever. And it's just awful. And so it's taking away our moments in which we can slow down, those moments of jumping off the hamster wheel. We don't have those moments anymore because it's not built into our society. As a matter of fact, when I meet a client, especially for the first time, and I'm doing a biopsychosocial assessment, I call it, basically learning them and their challenges and what they're bringing to the table in terms of mental health needs and all that. One of the top three questions that I ask them is, "Tell me about your sleep." Of course, resting is more than sleep. We can be in a very alert, walking down the road, either resting or worrying to death. And so it's not just sleep, but sleep is an indication of a greater lack of rest. If a person can't sleep well, then their soul is not resting. Their mind is not resting. Their emotional state is not resting. And so it's just an outward big symptom of some inward, a lot of other smaller problems. And so, oh, I can't sleep well. And then I say, okay, so you can't fall asleep? Or are you going to sleep well and you're waking up early? And they'll tell me which way they go. And sometimes it's both. And, well, why can't you go to bed? Oh, my mind is racing. I can't slow down my mind. And if they can't slow down their mind, there's a lack of rest there. There's too much on the plate. When God wants us to simplify things, he doesn't want us to be so stinking in debt that we have to work 92 hours a week. We have to orchestrate and manage our money so that we can survive off 40 hours a week. If we can't, we don't need it. We need to defer that satisfaction, that gratification, and buy it later. And so the whole structure of our life needs to be around rest, but we don't do that. We build it on more and more and more, as you said, and owning more and getting more and experiencing more and running ragged and running here and there. And all the time, that running is taking away our rest. We would be so empowered, so much more empowered and so much more astute if we would let rest be the foundation of everything we do and say and act like and believe.
Absolutely. One of the things that you said caused me to think, and I want to talk about what our society has done and how it's worked against us for that rest. The other thing that I know that some people struggle with, the reason why they need distractions, the things keep going and keep their minds occupied, is because they don't like who they are and they are afraid to be stuck with themselves.
Yeah, I think that's true.
If we have to slow down and rest, we also have to be in our own thoughts. And a lot of people are, you know, whether it's alcohol, drugs, it could be social media, it can be relationships, it could be binge watching movies, just listening to audiobooks or whatever it is, but they're distracting themselves so that they don't have to spend time with themselves. And if you rely on things to make you go to sleep by occupying your mind, how much rest are you getting? when what we need to do is slow down. And so I think a lot of people have to come to terms with who they are and to become comfortable within their own thoughts. Now, to society, I think society has really done a disservice in allowing for conveniences to, I would say, mess up order. And it happens in a few ways, schools and home life, right? Children are in school 8 hours a day. They're on the bus going there and going back home. They have to do homework. They have all these pressures. They feel like they're failures. Everything's running through their minds and they want to escape. Let's talk about mothers with small children. Mothers with small children are sitting here going, okay, how are you going to get me to rest? How are you going to allow for, you know, what am I going to hear that's going to help me to be able to rest? Because I feel like I'm on 24/7. And that's true. You're on 24/7. But what our society has done is it has separated families. It's separated communities. We all have our own home. We're not a part of a village. We don't have a family structure that allows for aunts and grandmothers and sisters and other people in the community to come help you to get that rest. We have separated ourselves from society. We have allowed for us to be isolated. And so when you're isolated with small terrorists who are only thinking of themselves, you're going to wear out. You're going to break down. Something's going to give. And so you have to come up with systems. You have to have a plan and you have to allow for other people to come in and help you.
You know, one of my favorite psychologists says that very same thing, Joseph, which is never in the, you know, the history of mankind has a woman that, you know, been expected to go home with a baby, close the door and be totally alone, right? We were created to be in community. And you can see how in community, right, there's a better option to say, I need to go lay down because there's other women working in the house, right? And we've moved away from that model. And, you know, I would say I'm so Americanized that I think like, oh, that's the way it's supposed to be. And there is something to be said about having privacy, you know, and more opportunities for solitude, but it also sets us up for exactly like what you're saying, Joseph. It sets us up for loneliness. It sets us up to feel like we're failures because, you know, we can't, you know, we can't manage a bunch of terrorists all day or a baby that just doesn't sleep, right? And every one of us, you know, listening and here on this podcast, we've all been sleep deprived at one time, and it makes us mean. It makes me ugly. It makes me mean. It makes us sick. And one of the things I appreciated that you said, Kevin, is that that's one of the first questions you ask a new client is, how is their sleep? And the reason I love that is because it takes it back to what the three of us believe, is that people are not just a spirit. They're also an emotional person, and there's also a physical component. And, you know, if a person doesn't look at another human being holistically, you know, they might be what, in my opinion, too spiritually focused in that they'll say to somebody, well, you just need to pray more. You just need to ask God for help. And there's truth to that. But if a person is drinking copious amounts of caffeine and staying up on their phone or a Game Boy or whatever they're called nowadays till 1 o'clock in the morning and trying to get up at 6 a.m. See, that's the real problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look at everything, you know, holistically. The thing is with our culture, you know, and I think it's may have always been this way, but again, social media plays a huge role in this. And so we see things like be a boss and be a boss babe and hustle, right? And don't be a, you know, what was I looking through? Power through. You need to master that. Like just the thought of that, you know, you can feel like, oh, I'm going to lose sleep. And you listen, I'm all about mastering something, but there's effort and energy that goes with it. And when a person is running on fumes and the message is that you need to, you know, master this, you need to power through, the other side of that coin is if I don't, that must mean, you know, we love to tell ourselves stories, and most of the stories we tell ourselves are not true, okay? Because we pick them up from other people telling stories that didn't know that they weren't true. And so we're afraid we're going to be lazy. I know this hits home with a lot of listeners. They were raised to believe that if you weren't moving every moment, you're lazy. You're a slacker. You're underachiever, right? You're unproductive. And these things resonate within us. And they put us into a place of unhealthy mental health because we're afraid to slow down. We're afraid to take a 30-minute nap. What are you afraid of? Well, I remember being a young person with little children, and I was afraid that if somebody came, they would think that I was unproductive. I mean, hello, the kids are laying down. Let me lay down too, right? But see, I had to learn over time to actually give myself permission. And I'd love to hear you two, if you have found that you've had to give clients permission so that to teach them to give themselves permission. I don't need to give them permission. They need to give themselves permission. Amen?
Amen. Well, Laura, when a person is that performance driven or that uptight about staying busy all the time, lest they be thought of in a certain light, then the basic problem with that is an anxiety thing. It's not the performance. Let's talk about the anxiety and why are you feeling that anxiety. That becomes the basis of why are you worrying about what other people think, and why are you wrapped up in your head like that? And a couple of things you guys said that I want to address as well. So my comment, it's a basic anxiety rather than necessarily thinking we're not producing enough or whatever. You know, you said that the ladies, if there's community, ladies can, other ladies, the aunts, the sisters, the grandmas, but men can help too. I know you guys were not being discriminatory because you're not discriminatory people, but men need to jump in there too, right? And a lot of men do. Our sons and our daughters need to spend time with their dads, vocationally even. So, Dad, what do you do for a living? It never ceases to amaze me. I talk to a teenager. They have no idea what their dad does for a living, and so on. And then you made mention, Laura, of something like when you don't get your proper rest, you're kind of ugly. But I see how pretty you are today, so I have a hard time believing that.
Thank you.
And, you know, the other thing, Joseph commented on community and how our education system is built kind of in a macro social way. And I think that's a wise observation. But also another observation is the seasons. We are far removed being on social media and all the things that can distract us from the earth's rhythms. You know, being on a farm here, we're intricately knowledgeable about those things. And if you have a yard and a couple of trees and you have to cut your own grass, then you're knowledgeable too. But there's so many people who are not knowledgeable. And the seasons of nature, just as God designed it, can teach us rest. We can't grow crops 12 months of the year. Not yet. And the millennial rule, we can. There's going to be a river and the crops are going to bloom produce every month. But even the seasons, and we're detached from dirt wisdom and the practical calmness that comes from the wind blowing through the atmosphere and hitting our faces. And, you know, I just think we live in concrete jungles, and it's not by accident. The scripture even says, woe is he who lives house to house. I mean, God wants us to enjoy nature and to enjoy nature from a restful standpoint, not just from meandering from one location to another and you just happen to see a tree every once in a while, but really to experience it, to soak it in, to breathe it, to calm our thoughts with how beautiful God's creation is. Seasons and creation has a part to do with this rest too, and we neglect that. We really neglect that. A lot of people don't. They want to advocate for nature and advocate for improving our natural resources and all kinds of things. I'm not painting it with a brush and saying all people. I just want to point out that seasons and the nature teaches us rest too, and we're far removed from that. Our whole technological, from AI to everything, is removing us from that natural calmness, that natural wisdom, that dirt wisdom, I call it.
Absolutely. And you know, Laura, we talked about false guilt. We had we had an episode, a couple episodes are on false guilt. And I think what part of that is that if we don't keep moving, that false guilt kicks in, just like Kevin says, the anxiety. And we have to recognize that. We have to recognize what it is. Now, I do tell my clients to rest, to give them permission. And that comes through building systems. And one of the systems that I use is the calendar. So if I have a student who is struggling with anxiety, or they feel like everything's out of control, I tell them to use your calendar. Okay, from what time do you get home? Okay, once you figure out what time you get home, let's put on the calendar. I'm going to do schoolwork from this time to this time. When do you eat dinner? Put that in your calendar. When do you take time to rest? Put that in your calendar. And so that system is there to give them permission. And also it's there to help them to keep track, to have some sort of a guide, a reminder. Because if we let the day go by, then we feel guilty about not being productive when we should have been productive. And then it's a vicious cycle. The cycle goes over and over. And then you are death scrolling on social media so that you can go to sleep, except you're not, because your brain's going at a million miles an hour. And then rinse and repeat. You're doing it over again. So have a system. Build a system. That system could be your calendar. I use my calendar all the time. I'll look at it and go, oh, I have a bunch of different clients. Okay, I have time right here to rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have, I'm not going to work from the time I wake up until 1 p.m. because I have calls going into 8:30. Yes. And so I'm not going to start at 8 a.m. and just fill up my time all the way till 8 p.m. Right. Or else I'm going to wear myself out. And so I have to look at it and say, okay, from this time to this time, I'm going to spend it with my family. I'm going to take care of, some small chores here and there so that I at least feel like I'm, not wasting the day, but I'm also going to rest. I'm going to take time to sit back and enjoy the sunshine now that it's sunny. A couple of days ago, it was just a bunch of gray. You didn't want to go outside, but allow for that time to be there for you to be able to hit the door, hit the ground running when you need to work. Join us next week for part two. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.